Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
You can stick it to the man and big tech. Join our FTL social mastodon at social.freetalklive.com.
Live. Welcome to the program here. Phones are open and you can join us here. The number is 603-283-6160. That's 603-283-6160. Coming up, the survey is in from Gallup and it shows that Americans this year consider the government to be the number one problem in America.
All Americans?
Well, no, but overall, the largest group of people responding to Gallup's latest poll named the government slash poor leadership as the number one most important problem.
I just meant like
in the U.S.
I don't know. It's not just some group of like a college students or something. I don't know, something like that.
This is, I believe, of all Americans, at least of those who were polled.
But they're missing the point. You shouldn't go to the government if you want good leadership. If you want good leadership, go to your priest or a pastor or a community leader or something like that. Government, they're rulers. They're not leaders. And there's this huge difference between the two. Citing that the government is a problem because we have terrible leaders, that's like saying the police are a problem because they have terrible hot dogs for sale. Okay, well, these are fundamentally different things. If you go to the police station expecting to buy hot dogs, you're going to have a bad time. And if you go to the government expecting good leadership, you're also going to have a bad time.
Tell them when you want to buy bacon, they're going to shoot you.
It is something affecting both Republicans and Democrats. We can talk about the details of this poll coming up here in moments. But first, I want to get into where you and I went today, Bonnie, along with, I would say, according to Chris Wade, who counted, over 40 people who attended what was essentially the kind of the sentencing hearing. I mean, it's a civil case, so it's library, the cryptocurrency corporation that has created the library protocol, the token, the whole
platform
thing.
That allows you to share media content and just all sorts of content online for free in a torrented, decentralized way. It's a gift to humanity.
Yeah, it's been a really great piece of software. The protocol is the library media sharing protocol, and as you said, it allows you to share media, including video, including audio, including PDF files, including pretty much anything I think that you want to upload.
Yeah, and it's immune to censorship. That's its biggest feature. It's not just resistant to censorship in the way that like Gap or Parler or whatever is. It's completely immune. You have to take out the entire library network if you want to censor something from library.
I use Odyssey, which is the library protocol, I think is the way that they like to say it.
Mm-hmm.
And I watch David Icke videos on there all the time that you can't get on YouTube or even when you just Google them.
Yeah. Yeah, there's a lot of stuff you can find on Odyssey that you can't find anywhere else. But Odyssey's a separate kind of animal to some extent, and that came up in the hearing today. I want to get into that because that was really like an important part of this hearing today. But the hearing today was, I use the term sentencing, but that's not exactly the right term. Sentencing happens at a criminal trial.
It's the punishment phase, right?
This is the civil equivalent of it. It is what they call the settlement.
Settlement.
Is sort of a settlement's got a kind of a misleading connotation to it. When you settle a case, generally it's something you do before a verdict happens, right?
Like
a settlement.
It's generally by agreement, right?
Right, yeah. Settlement is usually like, okay, the parties agree to settle prior to going to actually having to spend the money to go to trial. It saves money on both sides because you don't have to pay the attorneys to go through a whole trial. So they've been through the trial. That happened.
Well, sort of, right? The judge opted to not give them a trial, if I recall correctly. And he was like, no, you're guilty. I'm going to declare that you're guilty.
Yeah, it was some sort of declarative judgment or something like that. I'm not sure what the exact terminology was, but
which means that they did not, in fact, get to exercise their right to a trial. They were, in fact, denied their right to a trial.
Well, the statement was, and I forget who told me this after the hearing today, but somebody said the reason why there was no trial was because both sides agreed on the facts. And a jury would be a group of people that has to judge facts, not the law. And so since both sides agreed to the facts of the case, it was only a question of law. And so therefore, it would not have made any sense to go to a jury trial because they don't get to judge the law. And
I mean, that's true if you set up a monopoly game where the bankers are ultimately the ones who set all the rules and to determine what is and isn't against the rules, which is what we have here. Jury nullification would be an important aspect of this. But if you go into it assuming that the jury cannot say, no, library did nothing wrong, case dismissed, then you just start from square one where they're already guilty. That's you have point. To have jury nullification on the table.
Yeah.
Right.
You're right
and
about
it was
that.
Chris that told you that, and he went to the last hearing, so it's pretty legit probably about what they discussed.
Yeah, it sounds like the American legal system. So I believe it.
So the library has, as you pointed out, this uncensorable, still does. Library is, as a protocol, which is just a, you know, software essentially, or a series of commands out there that anyone can utilize in order to create a platform.
You could write your own software that uses the library protocol.
Correct. So,
I don't know why you'd want to, but you could.
Yeah, well, because the existing software is pretty good, and it does what it says it's going to do, and that's, of course, why they've been going after libraries, because it is a threat to the status quo of centralized platforms like YouTube, giving them competition without, you know, having the same megatech corporation level business behind it. Library is a much smaller business. They started out by what they call doing a pre-mine, which means that, as I understand it, in the world of cryptocurrency, when they were launching the library blockchain, they mined it themselves first for a while. They didn't let anybody else in.
So did Satoshi Nakamoto.
Did he?
Strictly speaking, like the first 80 blocks were mined by Satoshi or something.
Yeah, but that's
that
probably
effect.
Just because no one else had gotten their miner together to do it. I don't know if there's really like a pre-mine.
I don't think I would call Bitcoin pre-mined like that, but like it's effectively the same.
I mean, as I understand it, he put it out there when the network went live.
And so, I don't understand why they would have to prove. I'm sure there's some insane technical reason, but it seems like they could just create a wallet and just give themselves 80,000 or 800,000 library tokens if that was what they want to do instead of going through the process of actually pre-mining it. But I don't know
how all that works. But in this case, if you're the only miner, then you get all the blocks, right? So that's just sort of the way that pre-mines are done. For listeners that don't know, when you're mining cryptocurrency, you're in competition generally with every other miner that's out there, and only one miner is going to quote unquote mine the block. They're the one that will find the block. They're going to mine that block, and the block, for listeners that don't know, is a block of transactions. And that block of that data goes onto the blockchain, which is this sort of uninterrupted chronological list of transactions, or a ledger, if you will, of transactions that started at the very beginning and goes up to right now.
And it has a math question associated with it, and the miners are all basically all day working on trying to solve the question, and whoever gets the answer first gets the.
Right. So if you're the only miner, you're going to get all the answers. Yeah. You're going to be the one.
It's like a bus where, like, you don't want just one person on the bus because that's just a tremendous waste of money. So you don't want just one transaction in the block or one person in the bus, so to speak. You want to wait until it's got enough people on it that it's worthwhile to drive the bus to point B. And the same is true in these blocks. That's why they do blocks instead of per transaction. You save up enough blocks, you get enough people on the bus, and then suddenly it makes sense for the bus to travel to point B. So ideally, there should be some sort of balance between, okay, we need enough people on the bus to make this worth our while, but we also don't need so many that we're just sitting here waiting forever and then the bus never actually departs because we're trying to cram 500 people on the bus and there's just not that many who want to go.
Right.
Is the reason why that they would pre-mine possibly, this is just me speculating, is it possibly because they wanted to make sure that everything was working before they put it out to the public or something?
That's a valid hypothesis.
It could be. Look, I don't think there's anything wrong with a pre-mine.
No, I don't think there's anything wrong with it. I'm just
right, but there's a
why.
Lot of people out there who say, whoa, pre-mine, you're bad.
If they were upfront about it, who cares?
Yeah. They were from all that I could tell. It's like, look, y'all created this. You get first dibs, you know. You can get your pre-mine in. That's totally fine. There's nothing wrong with that.
And there should be some sort of incentive for people who develop new technologies and cryptocurrencies to get something out of it.
Right. And
the judge also said today, like, they were out on Front Street with everything they did.
He did say that. The judge in this particular case, you know, is obviously not a good person because he ruled against Library.
Who was the judge?
Barbadoro is his name. He's the same guy that put Chris Cantwell in prison for no reason. Yeah. So this guy, you know, made himself look like he was being really fair today.
What's a bureaucrat laughing, which is my least favorite thing on earth.
What about a bureaucrat laughing? I didn't catch that.
There was just lots of bureaucrat laughing today. Like, he'd be like, oh, well, I see the blah, 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 this technical, ho, 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 ho. And then, like, the crowd would laugh with him, and I was not laughing. It's like, well, you don't laugh with a stupid bureaucrat that's ruining someone's life and having fun doing it.
Yeah, ruining someone's life is exactly right. I'm sure Jeremy Kaufman, the CEO of Library, I believe, will be fine. I mean, his life won't be ruined, but they are destroying
his business is not going to be fine.
No, they're destroying the thing that he created.
That's right.
And that's devastating whether he survives and recovers or not.
He looked really sad today. I felt bad for him. Also, he, like, turned completely red at one point. He was, like, really upset about something that was going on, something that the SEC was lying about his business, and he went up to his lawyers and was like, you know, trying to explain this to them, and he was like, oh, he looked so mad. I felt really bad for him.
I'm sorry to hear it.
Yeah. So the hearing today was what they called the settlement phase or the penalty phase or whatever. And so in this case, they had three things that they needed to go through. One was the SEC was requesting an injunction. And this was a big chunk of the day today. And it was about almost a two-hour-long hearing. The SEC wants to enjoin or have an injunction issued against not just Library, which, of course, as the judge pointed out, is no longer going to exist, the company. Library, the software, Library is open source. There's no way to stop it. The blockchain exists all around the planet, so, like, that's not going away.
Now it needs a DAO, though, in order to survive, I would imagine.
Yeah, and I didn't have a chance to ask Jeremy about you know, what the potential future would be, and he may not want to talk about it quite yet.
And I think that they're going to tell him he can't do anything like that, right?
I don't know if he personally would be prohibited from continuing to work on the software. It's just Library as a company can no longer exist, and Library as a company is going to be subject to what is called a disgorgement, which
horrible word
I believe just means we're going to pull from you all that we possibly can. Whatever life possibly lives in this company will be disgorged into the government. Now, there's not much left because Library, as was pointed out in their one of their court filings recently, is bankrupt. They have no money left. They have no employees.
Well, they didn't file bankruptcy yet.
No, they haven't yet.
But they said they were quote-unquote broke.
Yeah. Well, you only file bankruptcy if you have debtors and debts that you cannot pay, right?
Yes.
You don't file it just because you're broke.
That's
and as
true.
I understand it with Library, the only debtor they had that they may not be able to pay
would be
the U.S. government. Oh, or Odyssey.
Because they loaned money to Odyssey when Odyssey got started. Now, of course, there's no chance they're going to pay that back to Odyssey, and Odyssey itself is
Odyssey loaned money to them?
No, Library owned money to loaned money to Odyssey.
So, in theory, Odyssey may or may not be required to pay that back. I don't know, and it's up to, I mean, Jeremy Kaufman or the CEO or whatever it is at Library could probably say, look, we forgive that debt. You don't owe that to us.
Right. Now, what is that going to mean for the federal government? I don't know. There's still...
I was going to say, I think the SEC was trying to argue today. I don't know for sure, but I think they were trying to argue that would be ill-gotten funds. So it would be ill-gotten so the Library or Odyssey couldn't keep it.
Yeah, basically the SEC is trying to go after Odyssey at this point. They see them as a quote-unquote successor to Library, even though they're not...
That's fundamentally not true. I mean, it's a spawn of Library, certainly, and that more like a child than a successor. It's not like a direct product of Library. The two are completely distinct entities. One is a web front that accesses the Library Protocol. One is an organization that created the Library Protocol and the library program that uses said protocol.
Yeah, and that's basically part of the argument from Library side was, Odyssey did start as, you know, under the auspices of Library, but Library cut it loose during the summer of 2021. They had some of their employees go over to Odyssey, but the employees that are at Odyssey aren't working on the Library Protocol. They're working on Odyssey-related things.
Right.
And Odyssey, while it can interface with Library, the protocol, it is not the primary way. Now, they didn't make this point real heavy during this this hearing, but Odyssey, when you call up a video from Odyssey, it's not coming in on the Library Protocol because it's too slow. The library protocol is the backup. So Odyssey has its content on content delivery network servers. This is what Jeremy Kaufman said in a statement last year. Odyssey is not a 100% blockchain operation. Odyssey takes money in dollars. When you do a subscription on Odyssey for $3 a month or whatever it is, that's coming in dollars through the Stripe credit card charging platform. So Odyssey tipping, that's in dollars. There are library tokens that you can still send to people. Those do exist on the Odyssey platform, but it is not the front and center. It is not being used for some sort of investment purposes. It's not being used as a quote unquote security in any way, shape, or form.
And they don't need library. It could be
correct.
There's another thing the judge even said he understood. Already, that it could, in theory, be run on any other protocol or blockchain.
He did acknowledge that, yeah. So the judge, to his credit, is at least seems to be somewhat cognizant of how blockchain and these things are working, like way more so than the judge in the Crypto 6 case was. This guy seems to have studied it to some extent. Of course, that's what this case is all about. Is
well, he had
how,
to, right?
Right, is how blockchain
functions. Well, that's what our case was all about, too. We just... doesn't care.
Not as much. Well, really, it wasn't as much.
Besides all of that, no matter how much the guy studies it, this is the problem with the American system, right? You cannot be an expert in everything.
No.
There's no way for this judge to be enough of an expert in Nazis threatening one another across state lines that he could also be an expert in video sharing protocols.
It's so funny. I was thinking the same thing today. I was like, wait, when Ian said that it was the same guy that put Chris Cantwell in prison, I'm just like, this guy can't be an expert on anything.
Well, I mean, he could be, certainly, but not on... And it's possible to be an expert on multiple things, but this American system, it seems to require this judge to be an expert, to be qualified, to make extremely nuanced decisions on any topic that comes before him, whether it's a Nazi who says something mean to another Nazi, or whether or not a video sharing protocol is a security. None of that makes any sense.
Well, at the same time, who cares if they are experts anyway? Because, like Seth Aframe, the prosecutor in Ian's case, is a First Amendment expert.
Well, I would like, if someone is going to make a decision about whether or not library credits are securities, I want that person to be an expert in cryptocurrency and securities.
Well, the judge in your case, Ian, I don't know why you would say it has nothing to do with blockchain, considering before we went into trial, the judge had to decide if Bitcoin is funds, and he just out of hand was like, yeah, it's funds. Blockchain is the third party. Duh. I'm not that old.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not saying that he didn't have any decisions to make about blockchain, but a lot of the allegations in the Crypto 6 case weren't related specifically to how blockchain works, with the exception of money transmitter.
After he decided Bitcoin is funds.
Well, he didn't decide that.
He copied another judge's opinion on that one.
Well,
there's lots of legal, and I hate it, I disagree, but there's tons of legal precedent saying, well, Bitcoin is money. This is why Anessa made me so angry, because she was like, look, all of these people say this.
Yeah.
And ultimately, she's right, but like...
all of these judges are wrong, of course, is the point. All of them have been wrong about this, and judges just say what other judges have said as citation for why they can say what they're saying. So if other judges were wrong and the current judge says the same thing, then he's backed up by the other judges.
He literally said it's his opinion, though. He was like, it's fun...
That's by definition. I mean, everything in law is an opinion.
He said it's his opinion.
Correct. That's his... He is the court. And it is the court's opinion that Bitcoin is funds. The court is incorrect about that opinion, but that's what they believe.
Well, I certainly argue
if we get a chance to somehow argue that in the appeal, then hopefully we'll be able to do that.
I would certainly agree. I don't believe that Bitcoin is funds. I understand the judge believes it is, and other judges believe it is.
Yeah.
I disagree, right? But ultimately, as we learned and as we knew going into it, the judge is the one who gets to make that decision. It's not Arya's decision to make whether or not Bitcoin is money, and I don't feel like I'm any more qualified to make that decision than anyone else. However, I do know quite a bit about cryptocurrency, and I've learned a lot about economics and just money in general, and all of these things together, I don't believe Bitcoin qualifies as money.
How about just the fact that there's not a freaking law about it? Like, there's no law about Bitcoin being a fund. It's just something
just
some judges have decided, and judges aren't supposed to make laws.
Well, there is now. It was amended to the existing law in 2021.
Nope. Still doesn't talk about it.
My attorney said it did.
That's one way to interpret it, but...
Okay. Well, see, it comes right back to interpretation, then, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Isn't
doesn't
it
even
like
use
digital...
the term. No, the terminology, if I recall correctly, that they added was...
It gets all really complicated anyway.
It's not, they don't use the term virtual currency. They don't use the term cryptocurrency. It's like...
Digital assets?
Substitution for... currency or something like that. Mm-hmm. And so the, you know...
Substitutions
not...
of value? I think, yeah.
That's so stupid. I've never been like, here's my... I've never even thought of cryptocurrency like that. This is just my substitution for a dollar. No, I'm giving you cryptocurrency and you're giving me something else in
You could
exchange.
Make the argument that a stablecoin would fit that particular definition, as it literally is pretending to be the thing it's supposedly
backed money,
by.
Well, if that's money, then a check... is money. If I write money a check for $100, that check is therefore money.
Oh, yeah. That would fit the definition.
But it's not money.
But it is. It is in reference to dollars specifically. The definition of money is...
I can see that would be a substitution for money.
Yeah.
A representation.
That's called an instrument in that case. The word for a check in the world of legal land is instrument.
Right. And I would buy that.
Monetary instrument.
But it itself, I would argue, is not
the
money.
No, it represents the money.
Yeah.
But the money itself is just representation of debt. I mean, the
right.
Federal Reserve notes
yeah.
themselves, that's all they are. So anyway, Library is, so again, they were facing the potential for an injunction. And the injunction was, the SEC wants the judge to enjoin not just Library, but its successors, assigns, agents, like this whole laundry list of people that are somehow connected to Library. And they're arguing that Odyssey... is the successor to Library. Now, Library's counter-argument was that Odyssey is not going to, and the judge seems to acknowledge this, Library did not hand over its assets, not that it has any to hand over, but it didn't hand over its stock to Odyssey. It didn't hand over, you know, key intellectual property to Odyssey or anything like that. So the Library is saying, no, Odyssey is not our successor. Odyssey is a spinoff. We cut them loose. You know, they were part of Library in the past, but now they're their own separate company. By the way, their own separate company that is also not doing well financially. So if you want to support Odyssey, you probably should buy their subscribership thing. They've got like a way that you can pay a monthly fee to.
I mean, otherwise, they're going to end up selling ad space. And
they
stuff
already
like
have that. They already have ads. But even with the ads, it's not working out.
That's weird. I haven't even ever noticed an ad on my app.
Well, you probably use an ad block.
Maybe it's not in
app?
The app.
Okay.
Maybe it's not in the app. But if you go to the website, you'll see it there.
Just more evidence that this ad-based model isn't going to work in the current times.
So they want this injunction. The judge says he doesn't want to enjoin people who weren't parties to the case. So he is reticent to do this. However, he has not yet made up his mind in this particular case. The case is under advisement, and they're going to jump through some more hoops legally. So it still isn't over yet for Library and Odyssey. There's more coming up.
Do the letters IRS give you anxiety? I'm Dan Pilla. I've defended people from the IRS for more than 40 years. My book, How to Get Tax Amnesty, created the tax resolution industry and is responsible for helping hundreds of thousands of people. It can help you, too. If you're a non-filer or facing IRS enforcement right now, your case is unique. You need real help, not cookie-cutter advice. My clients get my personal attention. Buy my book at danpilla.com and get a free consultation directly with me. That's danpilla.com. Let's start solving your tax problem right now.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions, SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
USA News update. A seventh Memphis police officer has been relieved of duty during the ongoing investigation of the beating death of Tyree Nichols. The Memphis Fire Department also announcing it fired two EMTs who responded to the scene for failing to properly assess Nichols as he lay beaten on the ground. Texas still building its portion of a border wall even though the Biden administration stopped construction on the wall. Texas Governor Greg Abbott admits it's not a cheap endeavor.
Part of that is the materials for the wall. Part of it is the cost of acquiring the rights to be able to build the wall on land.
Abbott, speaking in the border town of San Benito today, said they are acquiring more land rights, which should help speed up construction. Super Bowl 57, the first time in history, the two black starting quarterbacks will face off against each other. Patrick Mahomes of the Kansas City Chiefs and Jalen Hurts of the Philadelphia Eagles will go to battle in Arizona on February 12th. John Schaefer, USA News.
Tejibo Tea Club's original Pure Pouty Arco Super Tea helps build red corpuscles in the blood, which carry oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate themselves. The immune system needs oxygen to develop, and cancer dies in oxygen. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The tea is also organic and naturally caffeine-free. A one-pound package of tea is $49.95, which includes shipping. To order, please visit shopsupertea.com. The first word is shop, spelled S-H-O-P, then the word super, and then the word tea. The complete website is shopsupertea.com, or call us at 818-984-6100 Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. California time. That's 818-984-6100. ShopSuperTea.com.
Get healthy, not high, with 100% pure CBD powerful natural pain relief from Veterans Vitality. GCN listeners, have you ever thought about how CBD may help you? I'm sure you have heard about the many benefits of CBD. Well, here's your opportunity to try before you buy. Created by veterans and for everyone who deserves better choices, our CBD is derived from organic hemp, grown in the USA, and third-party tested. Veterans Vitality CBD saves you as much as 25 to 50% over our competition, and a portion of all sales is contributed to veteran nonprofits and events. Many of our customers have experienced improved quality of life, help with anxiety, PTSD, and overall well-being. Our products do not contain THC. They are safe, non-addictive, effective, and 100% legal. GCN listeners, get your free trial bottle of premium CBD by simply paying shipping and handling at GCNFreeCBD.com. That's GCNFreeCBD.com. Again, GCNFreeCBD.com. Offered by Veterans Vitality Premium CBD.
Appreciate what we do? Help us advertise, market, and promote for just $5 a month at amp.freetalklive.com.
It is Free Talk Live. You can join us here and bring up whatever you want. The number is 603-283-6160. We are giving you details on today's hearing in federal court, New Hampshire. Bonnie and I were there, as well as over 40 people, which is the largest turnout I have seen in years.
Yeah, I just saw the picture, and I was shocked by how many people came out for this.
Yeah, me too. I was really glad to see that many people coming out, because like I said, I haven't seen this many people in any free stater court hearing since Adamo Freeman had his trial in Manchester for quote-unquote wiretapping, where we filled the entire Manchester courtroom with probably 50 to 60 people.
Except they didn't stand for the judge.
The people in Manchester did not stand for the judge. Today, the majority of the audience sadly did.
The rules are different in federal court, man.
No, they're really not.
I never got yelled at once for not standing for me and Chris, and I don't remember who
else.
But
there's still a persistent belief amongst people that if you don't do what the court wants you to do, that the judge will rule in a certain way, right? Like, so people are afraid they're going to hurt their friend by not standing for the judge. In my case, it's my religious belief to not stand for another man, right? Like, you're just a man. You're wearing a robe, and there's a bunch of men that'll follow your orders. But to me, you're just another man.
I don't believe that most judges are that capricious. Maybe at the city level, you might find some judge who's just that shallow and that
I've never seen it in New
Hampshire. Yeah.
I've seen it in Massachusetts. I've seen some people get pretty upset down there, but in New Hampshire, I've never seen it happen.
I suspect it's pretty rare, right? Because their entire job is to disregard everything else except the facts and to make the best determination they can based on the facts. Being upset because friends of the defendant didn't stand for you or whatever, it's sort of the opposite of what the judge is supposed to do.
By the way, if you want to join the show again, the number is 603-283-6160. Can bring up anything you want to discuss here. And we're going to continue with this topic because it's a pretty important one. Library is this media sharing protocol. It is an unstoppable media sharing protocol. They can shut this company down, and they're going to. That's what's coming. There's no way around that. Like, that's
going
to happen.
How do they have the authority to shut down a company? How does that work?
They're out of business at this point.
I understand that.
And that's without even having the judgment against them as far as the monetary amount. That has yet to be decided. That's what's coming. After today's hearing, they have to decide the so-called disgorgement, which is, as I understand, the word I'd never heard before, but as I understand it, that's like them reaching in and pulling out whatever they possibly can.
So weird because it's like there was 3 points they were going to talk about today. One was the injunction, and the second one was disgorgement. Then the third one was penalty. So they're going to disgorge them and then penalize them.
Correct.
And the judge even was like, how are we going to get blood from a stone? And
correct.
The SEC kind of talked him down from that. He's like, oh, yeah, it's probably going to be about $50,000.
Yeah, so that would have been for the penalty phase. The judge said he is inclined to give what is considered a tier one penalty. So I guess this is some sort of SEC case or whatever resolving tier.
Okay.
So there's tier one is the lowest tier.
But
so
SEC was asking for like tier three.
Tier two, tier three, yeah, whatever those would be. I don't know what those mean, okay? But
the prosecutors always ask for more.
The judge did say he was thinking around $50,000 for a tier one penalty. Now, if that's all that it was, Library might actually be able to survive this thing.
Yeah, but they don't. Do they have $50,000?
No, they don't.
But they could probably raise it.
They probably could. But that's not all this is going to be. They're going to probably hit them for, $14 million in so-called disgorgement or whatever.
Good Lord.
I mean, they also have another, however long it takes them to... We didn't get into it yet, so sorry, I'm kind of skipping ahead. But they're going to force them to do more discovery, so more interviews with their employees, more looking into their... accounting and stuff like that, and that's going to cost them more time with their lawyers.
Right.
So it's going to be more than $50,000 no matter what.
Oh, yeah, right. So, like, they've already spent hundreds of thousands, if not millions, on attorney's fees and things like that in this case. So they're done. The company is done. They haven't paid their employees since December 2nd, I believe, was testified to in court today, and there was a document that was filed to that extent. In fact, Library's attorney said at the end of the day today, is like, well, look, Judge, you know, even if you... order this discovery that he's considering ordering them to jump through, because basically the government wants to know more about what they spent money on. So they said, well, if you spent money on paying something to Jeremy Kaufman and he wasn't supposed to get paid or whatever, like if you were going to,
That's not the government. That's Library and its shareholders. I mean, I don't think it's a public company, but that's Library and its employees' business.
No. Everything is the SEC's business right now.
Well, they certainly would like to
think
so.
Every dime that the... they need to account for every dime or every Satoshi that Library has moved through in the last couple of years.
They need to disgorge them.
So they can disgorge it.
But that's absolutely insane.
That's what they want to do.
At this company that I work for, my primary job, it's not the government's business if the company goes, all right, let's give Aria a $5,000 bonus. That's never happened, but if they do...
If they're being sued by the government, it is their business.
Well, no, the government will claim it's their business.
I mean, you and I don't think that it should be their business. We
don't
think
the government
should exist. But they're not private. They're a corporation. And they're being sued. And so the SEC has now won the lawsuit. And part of winning this lawsuit is this quote-unquote disgorgement, which is to say that any money that has been improperly paid out in a way that, let's say, like, they wouldn't just cut a check to Jeremy, right? The theory is that the company would buy a thing, and Jeremy would somehow get access to the thing and then could sell the thing to make money.
I think
right?
the word
like,
they used was funnel. Like, they want to make sure it got funneled to any top... dogs
so that's their excuse for demanding more discovery. Remember, they've already gone through discovery. They've gone through, that's part of the early stages of a civil trial. When you get into a civil trial, there's like interrogatories where you have to sit down and answer questions. There's discovery where one side asks for the others to provide all the emails and provide all the documents and jump through all these ridiculous hoops. We don't usually have to deal with that in a criminal case, but there's reams of this stuff
I can only imagine. Yeah.
So now at the end, right when they thought this was the end of the trial, they thought Jeremy Kaufman was advertising this as the final hearing. Nope. Now there's another one on Monday. This was supposed to be maybe the final in-person hearing.
It's going to be Zoom.
But you know, it's still going. They figured they were going to get some sort of a determination today, but no, the judge still needs to make further determinations. He needs to order this discovery, maybe, and then he's going to look at the discovery and determine what the disgorgement can be, and then whether or not there's going to be a Tier 1 penalty, and whether or not he's going to write an injunction, and who that injunction could possibly enjoin. So all of this stuff is still up in the air. Though, to the judge's credit, he says he's disinclined to order an injunction against Odyssey.
So that makes sense. Odyssey is not part of the lawsuit.
It does make sense. Whether or not that's the end, how it ends up still is remaining to be seen. But the SEC wants to destroy Odyssey. The SEC is arguing that Odyssey is part of Library or a successor to Library, and so therefore should be enjoined in this injunction, which would quote-unquote require them to so-called follow the law. Now,
Odyssey has never made a security. Now, I would argue that Library hasn't either.
Indeed.
But Odyssey certainly has never made an asset of any type.
Nope. And the SEC has not sued them for that.
Right, because they haven't made one. So what possible standing could the SEC have to...
They're just saying
they're
connected.
It's not a security. It's not a currency. Nope. It's not an asset.
They're just saying they're connected.
Odyssey's just a website.
They're just saying they're connected, and so therefore we get money from them too.
Well, that's insane.
That's what they want. And, of course, Odyssey doesn't have any money either. They are essentially out of money. They're in they're in the red. And they're not doing so hot. There, people I don't think are even getting paid right now either. But there was one big takeaway that I made a note here about, and this is something the judge did want people to know that was maybe misunderstood about his ruling, and I thought it was pretty important, and that it was that when he made his ruling that Library was a security, what he was saying wasn't that the token itself is a security. Meaning that if you had Library tokens, which you wouldn't be allowed to do this because you're on bail conditions,
right.
as am I. But if you weren't on those conditions.
Last I checked, I did have some LBC, though, and I mean, that's been more than 2 years, so I may not still have it, but I thought I did.
Yeah, whether you even had access to the wallet again is another question. But let's say that you're off your restrictions and you want to sell that LBC on some exchange or sell it directly to Bonnie or something like that.
Sure.
The judge is saying that would not be a security. That is not just simply having Library tokens and selling those or buying those Library tokens is not engaging in a security. And that was one thing that was not, I guess, clear from his ruling before, because it sounded like, oh my God, every token is now a security based on what this judge has said. What he said was it was the, quote, offerings of the token that were the quote-unquote security offerings, a.k.a. a, quote, investment contract. That's what he was ruling.
Just that initial offering.
Well, I don't know if it was an initial offering or if it was an ongoing offering, but it was the fact that Library, the corporation, was purportedly, and again, I have not seen the evidence in the case. I don't know what they presented, but the claim from the SEC was because Library allegedly made, at some point, someone in Library or even someone outside of Library made the claim that, well, we think these tokens are going to go up in value.
It was like someone on Reddit, right?
So that was one thing I heard about, yeah.
The former employee on Reddit was one of the things they used for evidence that Library claims that it will go up in value.
But basically any post they made at any point that might have even suggested that the tokens could go up in value would have been attributed to be, oh, this is a security. You're telling people they could make money on this token because you guys are going to do things to make it more valuable by building this network, building this platform,
yeah,
et cetera, et cetera. So that was the big thing that the judge wanted people to know today, is that whatever he comes out with, as far as an order in this case, is supposedly going to clarify his ruling to say that it was just the quote-unquote offerings of the tokens. So the way that those tokens were sold was what he was saying was a so-called security, which, again, I don't believe in this security nonsense to me. It's like I don't see how selling a token even with a promise attached to it could be considered an investment contract, right? Like, A contract to me sounds like you are presenting me something. You're presenting me like an actual agreement, and you're saying that in return for this amount of money, we're going to give you these tokens, and we're going to see that they increase in value, or we will try our best to increase in value.
Well, that is a contractual agreement. You give me X, and in return, I will give you Y.
Yeah, but I think that's what I'm describing as a contractual agreement. But if it's just somebody on the internet saying, hey, we think these things are going to go up in value, we think if you want to buy them, here's how you buy them, I don't feel like that's a contract.
Even someone saying, these are going to go up in value because they have like the intelligence to see that they probably will, and maybe even being wrong shouldn't make that a contract with someone else, you know?
Yeah. But that's what the judge decided it was.
I don't agree that it's a security because I don't know what securities and all of that crap is, and it gets to the point where, you know, all you can do is really roll your eyes at all the terms used, but yeah. I could see how an initial coin offering of whatever description could qualify as a contract. I could see that.
Well, if you can see that, then that's why the judge ruled against Library in this particular case.
Well, I don't know if that's enough to justify the ruling against Library, and I would certainly argue that it's not. And as you point out, even if it is a contract, I don't see what business that is with the SEC.
I was going to say, it's not like any of the three of us believe the SEC has any kind of right to exist or close down businesses, so...
But if I tell people, hey, you know, give me $50 and I will give you a sheet of paper that... will ultimately be worth $100, I am sort of forming an agreement with you that if you give me X, then in return, I will give you Y.
But that's not what they said, right? They said that the thing could go up in value.
Right, could is very different from will.
We think that it will go. We would like to believe that it will go up in value. Well, that's not a guarantee or anything like that. And another thing the judge pointed out today that I thought was really interesting was that this was the first that he was aware of, and the SEC didn't correct him on this, so it may be true. This was the first ever case regarding a token or cryptocurrency or an ICO, an initial coin offering, that had to do with no fraud. Meaning that there have been other cases that the SEC has brought against these fraudulent companies that were just straight up not even, they didn't have what they were offering, right? Like, there's been a ton of these things where somebody cooks up some sort of token and they say, we've got this great magical, you know, program idea that we're going to launch. And they never wrote a line of code. They don't have anything behind the scenes.
Those were so popular in, like, 2017, 2018, I think.
Yeah, just straight up lies. Straight up, you know, misdirection, misinformation. This is the first time the judge says the SEC has brought a case or won a case against a company who was not also committing fraud. So he was pointing out that Library didn't do anything dishonest, that there's no actual fraud claims in this case. And the SEC admitted, yep, we're not alleging any fraud. We're just saying you didn't follow our rules. Even though Library said, we tried to follow your rules, we asked you what the rules were, and you wouldn't tell us what the rules were. And they did everything they could to comply with the SEC. In fact, to the point where Library is now saying publicly...
Yeah, I want to read the tweet.
Okay, you got it.
So the SEC brought in today, like, you know, in some paperwork, printed out for them. They're like, we would like to read to you this tweet that was tweeted by Library at Library.com, you know, their own official Twitter.
Mm-hmm. So tweets are now being entered into the register. I mean,
of course they are.
Oh, yeah, it happened to nobody before. They showed where he tweeted, let's get the guillotines. Mm-hmm. And they were like, does this mean you want to kill people, politicians?
They brought my posts into filings before.
Well, anyway, so here it is. And first of all, the judge said, I don't even know what person in Library actually posted this. And Jeremy Kaufman raised his hand in court. So it's... Quote, this is the biggest call we made wrong. We thought by being honest and open, the SEC would go after us last, but they actually went after us first because we made it easy. We cannot emphasize enough how important it is to obscure your activity from U.S. regulatory agencies.
I mean, it's not their fault that we live in this world where it's important to obscure your activities from regulatory agencies, preferably with a decentralized autonomous organization. That way they have no Jeremy Kaufman or other figure to sue or to bring charges against.
Yeah.
However, Jeremy Kaufman and Library, they're not the ones who created these circumstances. They're saying, hey guys, you're damned if you do, you're damned if you don't. The best thing you can do is hide in the shadows.
And if they did hide and didn't do it well enough to where they got taken to court, they would be accused of, you know, like trying to skirt around the rules. You're either skirting around the rules Yeah. Or you're just openly breaking them, according, you know, they'll switch the situation. The SEC will to fit their narrative.
Yeah, you're screwed no matter what you do.
So library is, according to the judge, they're going to be gone. The corporation itself is done for. They also apparently have agreed to burn the pre-mine. And I believe the number thrown around in court today was 400 million.
Wow, I didn't get
that. Wasn't that what it was?
What does that mean, burn the pre-mine?
So they pre-mined, apparently, I think it was 400 million. I'm surprised you didn't make a note of that because you were taking a lot of notes, Bonnie. But they, you know, before the blockchain went public, they mined a few hundred million of their own tokens, and they held on to that.
Right.
And they were going to do things like pay the bills, pay their employees, and, you know, give them away as well, give away the tokens in addition to sell them.
They have given away a lot of library tokens over the years.
So whatever they have left of their original pre-mine, and I'm not sure what that number is going to be quote-unquote burned. And usually that means that there's an address to which they can send that no one has access to.
How will the SEC confirm that?
I'm not sure.
How is anyone going to know that no one has the keys?
I think it might just be like straight zeros or something like that. I'm not sure how that all works. There's probably some mathematical answer to that question that I don't know.
Well, I mean, in theory, you could just like create a wallet. This is a terrible idea, and not copy down the seed phrases or whatever, and then just take a hammer to that phone or whatever device you've established a wallet on, and then it's gone forever. It's burned.
Yeah, that could be. I mean, I guess in theory, someone could randomly, the odds that they could do it are like near to infinitesimally slim, but in theory, someone could randomly like generate that wallet.
Well, otherwise, somebody would have gotten Satoshi Nakamoto's
coin.
I was wondering about that the other day. Like, how, if you go to a brand new device and you install whatever wallet, and it generates a new address for you, how does it know that wallet has never been used by anyone else? So in theory,
it's just the odds are so slim. I don't know what they are, but they're like near to impossible.
I figured it does a check. It probably scans the blockchain for existing addresses that have been used. It doesn't.
Well, what happens if it messes up and it...
It gives you someone else's key?
In theory, that could happen.
What the heck?
But the odds are so slim. You could look it up somewhere. The odds are like one in a billion, million, trillion or something.
Well, yeah,
like
every
that.
Single character in this increases the odds by like a 30th power or whatever.
Yeah, and there's like 30-something characters in a typical Bitcoin address.
So it's like 30 to the power of 30. So it's extremely unlikely, but not
impossible. So anyway, the idea would be that you would send the coins to an impossible address, something that could not possibly be generated or whatever. There's a way to do it, okay? And in Ethereum, they do it all the time. Ethereum, for instance, whenever you pay a transaction fee nowadays, that's going to be burned. But that usually just means it goes to an address that no one has access to. So that's what they're supposedly going to do. That's how this is all going to come to an end, is those tokens are going to be burned. And maybe that's one of the reasons why the library token's up 35% today. It shot up the last 24 hours.
Wouldn't it be more beneficial for the United States, for library, for humanity in general, to just like do an airdrop of these tokens maybe to everyone with a library credits wallet?
I don't know.
Or any other solution that isn't, okay, well, we want to fine library $80 billion, so let's have them light $80 billion on fire.
It doesn't make any sense.
That's not true. I mean, in dollars, that would never happen. That's such a good point.
No, it's an insane way of looking at things.
They've never been literally light them on fire.
Yeah, just distribute it to everyone if that's what you want to do. Just say, okay, these are all the wallets. Let's just distribute it evenly.
They could.
And
yeah,
sure,
they
maybe
could
it's only
that.
Three
two lines of code. That'd be done.
Yeah. Three library credits per address or something like that. But
no, it'd be more than that. Library credits are worth like less than 2 cents.
Yeah,
right,
but there's probably tens of billions of library addresses.
I don't know about that.
At any rate, any solution is better than just sending them to a sinkhole.
Well, in theory, the sending them up to the sinkhole may be one of the reasons why the price is going up. Now, this isn't always
true. Decrease the supply.
Well, right. The thing is, this isn't always true. A lot of times, the people in the crypto world will promote a certain feature, burning as a feature to their cryptocurrency. It's like, oh, well, on every transaction, we burn 1% of the transaction or whatever. There's different cryptos out there that advertise this.
Why would this be good?
I think it's a bad
thing.
Yeah, they call it a deflationary cryptocurrency. The idea being that instead of the number going up over time of total crypto, the number would be going down over time.
Or just leave it alone and let the market sort it out.
Yeah, because it will deflate anyway for people losing their keys and stuff.
Yeah.
That's what kind of freaks me out about Bitcoin. It's like, what if one day everybody's lost all their keys?
Well, everybody probably won't lose their keys, but people do lose their keys, and that's a fact. But my point is, for the cryptos that advertise this of like, we're going to lower the supply, we're going to burn all of our pre-mine, we're going to, you know, whatever it is. It doesn't always result in higher prices. You would think it would, right? Because, well, lower supply means higher price, but that presumes the demand is still increasing, right? Like, if this is some low-value token and you burn half of the supply of the low-value token, if no one's buying the token generally, then is it really going to matter? Like, for instance, Library only had $67,000 in trading volume in the last 24 hours. Like that's,
wow, that's it.
Yeah, it's not even in the top. It's barely in the top 1,000 cryptocurrencies right now. So, like, even though there's over 600 million library credits in supply, it's not moving a lot. There's not a lot of action on the of the actual tokens. So I don't think that you're gonna see, even though like half apparently of these tokens are going to be burned, I don't think you're gonna see the price double. But I could be wrong.
No, I certainly don't think it'll double. As you said, the price will probably go up.
Yeah, there was conversation in the hallway before the hearing today where people were like, LBC is probably going to go up today. But my thought
is, it did.
What if people, altogether, forever, like if it keeps going, well...
It went up in the last hour.
I'm just saying, into the future, don't you think it'll probably go down because people will be like, they kind of took apart the business?
It's hard to say. I mean, the story of Library is not over. That's the thing here. Like, this part is the only sure thing right now. We know for sure the company is going to go away. We don't know whether Odyssey, its spinoff, and the alternative platform, the leading alternative in my mind to YouTube right now, is going to go away. That's still a question mark.
But it's looking better for it today than it was this morning.
It is. I would say that's true. That's a fair takeaway from what we saw. I would say I'm optimistic that Odyssey will at the very least not be destroyed by the SEC in this moment. Whether the SEC brings a case against Odyssey next is another question, because they seem to have it out for them.
And the judge specifically said, if you want to take this up with Odyssey, you're always able to file your own news suit with Odyssey.
And there's more. We can share it. You can share your thoughts. It's Free Talk Live.
Do you ever get the feeling that the world is being held together with duct tape? Every day we're thrown some new meaningless drama in the fake news to distract us from the reality we're all about to face. Between the government trying to print their way out of debt, military conflicts, the disintegration of our most trusted institutions, and a looming food shortage, preparedness is no longer a choice. It's a necessity. You can trust My Patriot Supply. Our emergency food kits come packed with tasty meals, averaging over 2,000 calories per day. Get at least one kit for each person in your family. Self-reliance is the only alternative to government food lines. Time is running out. Become ungovernable. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and save on dozens of different emergency food kits while you can. These kits are in stock, ship fast, and arrive in unmarked boxes for your privacy. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com before the next crisis strikes. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Advertising is simple. It starts with someone who has a need.
Mom!
And then gets more specific.
Mom, I want pizza.
Then we add urgency.
I want pizza tonight.
Before you know it, your GCN advertising message is reaching millions of listeners. Listeners who are definitely in need. You see, advertising on GCN is simple. Your message meets their need, and the result means new business for you. Tell us about your business, then let our super creative department go to work to craft just the right message to feed those who have an urgent need.
We want pizza tonight!
GCN has the most affordable national radio advertising rates, period. And millions of people listen to GCN radio programs on over 1,000 AM and FM and XM stations and streaming audio live. Get started today with GCN, the Genesis Communications Network. Just shoot us an email, advertise@gcnlive.com.